Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Hello, and welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. Every second Tuesday and every second Friday, we have so much fun because we get to interview travel representatives from their destinations, travel experts, travel writers, photographers, anyone who has anything to do with the world of travel, food, and wine. And these are two special shows, all connected with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We call it IFTWA. It's far easier to say. And you can go to the website, ifwtwa.org. But again, it's every second Tuesday, every second Friday. Now, Tuesdays, we normally talk with different representatives from different regions, like Memphis. Maybe it's Medford, Oregon. It could be anywhere across the country or around the world. But today's show is dedicated to women, because it happens to air on March 8th, which is International Women's Day. So we thought, we got to look at women in travel, tourism, travel writing. Think about it. Who do you think was the first woman travel writer? You know, we have all these travel writers through history. I think about Cabeza de Vaca, who was an explorer that landed in Galveston, Texas. And this is such a crazy story about his shipmates and how they went through the desert. A lot of them died. It was actually really terrible. Over 200 of them died. But he documented all of this, this insane story. And he got known as Texas's very first travel writer. Now you're thinking way back when. So what about women getting that accolade and recognition? Well, we've got some awesome women joining us on the show today, all members of IFTWA. And we're going to start with the diva Linda Kassam, the food, wine, shopping diva. She is a regular here on Big Blend Radio and is in Big Blend magazines for I don't know how many years. We can't keep up. But you can follow her at allingoodtaste.info. So diva Linda, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. It's sunny in Phoenix.
Awesome. Cool. I know. And everybody,
but it's warmer than here.
We are recording this in the heart of winter. This is airing at the beginning of spring. So everyone's probably going to be feeling good unless you get those weird spring. You never know what happens in spring. But Linda Kassam is also the past president of IFTWA. And how long were you the president? I mean, you're like the British queen.
Pretty much. She's right. I stopped counting at 8. I'm not really sure. I just kept going. Yeah, I would have kept going a lot more, but I thought it was time for somebody else to give it a shot. But I enjoyed my time doing that a lot, and I would do it again. So, you know, it was a great job.
And Chris Cutler is the president now and doing an awesome job too, and also works on getting the conference, the FWT magazine, Food, Wine, Travel magazine that goes out through IFTWA. So again, everyone, ifwtwa.org. You think about this association, honestly, I think we're interviewing, you know, we do these shows, you know, twice a month. And when we get into the tourism departments, Linda, a lot of times we'll get men and women, but I'm going to say we've had a few men on this show, but it seems that because we're talking women in travel and tourism, that we have more women out there being travel writers and even traveling solo. Have you seen that over your time?
Well, yeah, over the last maybe 15 years. The issue is, I think, that I used to be able to get a paying job that would actually pay you enough to live and support your family and so forth. And you could be on the rolls of a newspaper or on, or in a lovely magazine or whatever. And then all of a sudden, when the crash came, that wasn't so much. They didn't have writers on staff. They went to freelance writers. And you have to work an awful lot, much harder if you're freelance rather than on staff. You know, it's one of those things where you constantly have to have things in the pipeline so that you have, you know, something to eat and, you know, money down, you know, down the next month and so forth. So I think many of the men dropped out, and they come back in later when they find a good steady income and can do it sort of part time. But often the women have a second support system or a great divorce settlement or whatever, and they can
go, girls.
I'm sorry, inheritance, whatever. But that's my take on it. So, yeah, for right now. So, and I really don't see the magazines or the newspapers doing a lot of staff people, especially in travel, as you probably saw. Especially after the crash and so forth. I mean, it seems so long ago, but it still has a great influence on what we do now. The travel section went away. The lifestyle section went away. You know, the
sports days are apparently sports days. Yeah.
But
that's where the men are.
Yeah, lifestyle, travel, all that sort of stuff. You know, was lost, especially in the newspapers, of course. So I don't know. We'll see. You know, life changes all the time, and that was a huge change. The reason I see this and see it so clearly is because I used to be the director of a wine region in California. And so I was the person at that time that used to bring in writers, host them, choose them, select them, mentor them, baby them, run around with them for 2 days and so forth and so on. And big difference after the crash, because they used to come in with on a stipend, and so their airfare would be paid, their whatever, and then they'd get a nice little bonus. But this was all because they were on staff. And boy, right after that crash, that stopped right away. They were having to pay their own airfare, and that's the host destination to do that for them. And as a host, we were much more careful about who we paid for. You know, if a magazine or a newspaper wants to send somebody out from, I don't know, Poughkeepsie, fine with me. You know, come on down. I'd like to have my wine region noticed. But it was just, but when it was time to decide who I would actually spend my budget on, I had to be a bit more careful about numbers, you know, circulation numbers, how they wrote, what their attitude was going to be. I can tell you some great stories about hosting people. If you ever want, we can do a whole show on that.
Oh yeah, let's do that. I'm ready. Yeah, no, but I think what's interesting, you talk about the crash, and I want to introduce everyone on, but the crash hit, and it did affect everything, and it's kind of like what we're doing now. During COVID times, everyone's getting these second jobs, third new things, or it's change. But it really, tourism, the big first whack was September 11th. That was, and then it's like, then the crash happened. It was just this nonstop. And we also started having disasters. Nancy and I at the magazine, we were started, what, we're 25 years this year. And we went through the 9/11. Also going in from print to online, that also was this huge factor. And then there were all these disasters. We went through wildfires that were crippling to our region. And it was just like one thing after the other. And it's like, can you all give us a break? You know? And well, I think it changed. And so, and even now we're back into that new cycle, which honestly, it's devastating, but also creates opportunity. I really believe every time all these horrible things happen in life, there's always something that can come from that. And I think that's what we have now, is we have a whole new generation of bloggers, and people say, oh, blogs are going away. No, they're not. People want personal stories. And they said, Nancy, right in the beginning, don't tell the personal story of travel. Don't be opinionated. Look, you've got the diva here. Come on. You know, and the people who are giving that advice, you know, sometimes it's really funny when you look them up and you find out that you know more than they do. You've been around longer, you've done more, you know. And so somebody writes what you call the opinion piece, and it's really, you know, how much is that worth? So if you're going to read an opinion, I say look the person up before you take it to heart.
That's why it's important to get who you are. And I think blogs give people that beauty of connecting with them, and social media gives that beauty. And so let's bring some of our next guests on who are all sitting here. So let's go to Dallas. Okay. So Dallas, Texas, we're in Arizona with Diva Linda. We're going to go northeast a little bit to Dallas and Sharon Kurtz. Sharon was on our show. What, about almost a year ago, talking about her trip to Egypt. Almost. We're not quite there yet, but welcome. And we can see you this time. This is great.
Yeah.
You went to Egypt during COVID because why not? You could. Not only are you a freelance writer, but you are also a tour company guide. So you take people on small group tours. Everyone, it's SharonHKurtz.com. And that's K-U-R-T-Z, SharonHKurtz.com. Did I get that right? Make sure everyone's websites are out there.
SharonKurtz.com.
Hey, Kurtz, not H. I can't read. I just write. I can't read. No, I'm just kidding. But welcome back. And how are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing very well.
Good.
Looking forward to traveling in 2022. It's going to be changed and difficult more than before. But
that's interesting how you say that. And yeah, because it is getting up. It's up back into up and down weird world again. It is. But you're a freelance writer. Tell us a little bit about how you got into becoming a freelance writer and doing that.
I came to freelance writing as a second career. I had a career that I loved. I designed and manufactured a product that I sold to catalogs and retail stores. And it made me very happy until it didn't. You know, the crash came and business was tough. And I raised my two children and I thought, why am I spinning my wheels? I wanted a new life. So I decided to sell my business and I started traveling. And then I was already leading tours for women. So my travel career then led to people saying, I love your Facebook posts. Surely you should write for a wider audience than that. So I started going to training and travel writing seminars. And now I've written over 100 bylines and for 12 or so different publications.
Right on. Wonderful. Well done. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. And welcome back again. So now, okay, we are in Dallas and we're going to go up a little bit and then we're going to go down to Betsy in Florida. We're going to go up to South Carolina, Myrtle Beach. Marie Goff, welcome to the show. It's your first time. I know Betsy and Sharon and Linda have all been on here, but welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much. Doing good here at Myrtle Beach.
How could you not? But this is exciting because your way in was really you retired from the military, right? You served our country and thank you. The military, I know a lot of people that got into the military. I know park rangers who became park rangers so they could go from park to park and work in them and learn different skills. And I know a lot of friends in the military that the military gave them the travel bug because they traveled and then they couldn't get it out of their system. What was it for you?
It was partly that. I was in the military for almost 38 years. And so before that, though, I had gone to, while I was in college, small liberal arts college, Lander University, and a professor there took a handful of us to Europe. We went to school in France for a summer and visited other countries while we were there. And I, my parents had traveled too, up and down the East Coast, mainly the southern portion of it. And from the mountains to the ocean. And so it all started when I was a child, but then of course with the military, I traveled too. But when I retired, I said, I'm on my own now. I can do what I want. Mm-hmm. And so I was inspired by our public affairs officer. I said, how can I travel and do this in a way that is help enhances learning and sharing and all of that? And I saw her, she knew just about everything that was going on there at the South Carolina National Guard. And I said, that's it. I can start writing and learn photography. And little did I know what a big learning curve both of those were going to be.
But I think you've got to have the tenacity of, you know, having served in military, you're punctual, you're very punctual and detail oriented. I know just from the email communications, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, it's amazing on that, mm-hmm. but there's got to be something, you know, that really does connect, because there is the detail. There is, if mm-hmm. you have to get up at 3 a.m, you'll get up at 3 a.m. There's yeah. this mm-hmm. The duty oriented focus, right? And mm-hmm. I think also what's amazing about your story too is that you were a woman, you know, woman in the military, which we're only now starting to hear more of over the last 10-15 years about women who've served. That's been a mm-hmm. you know, we've got the waves, right? Nancy wanted to join the waves.
Yeah, I did.
She did. Yeah. She thought it was a surfing group, but it didn't happen.
Like, my parents were like, no. And at that time, you had to be 25 or you had to have your parents okay. 25 for a woman. Only 18, maybe 17, 18 for a guy, but for a woman, 25. Mm. And I'm like, dude, I ain't going to be around here till I'm 25. I'm long gone.
But yeah, for you to serve as a woman, what inspired you to do that? Like because when I think about now, I mean, we're seeing women that are kicking butt in the military. I mean, just athletically mm-hmm. Out there. And we're getting,
it's incredible.
We're getting the respect that's deserved. But I think there's pioneers in that field of having to stand up and do almost more work in a way to respected.
I think I came full circle, or the military and the Army came full circle during my career, because when I started, I learned later that had I joined earlier in the year, I would have joined the Women's Army Corps. But later it was transitioning women in the Army. And so I joined later in the year. But as I was retiring in 2015, the rules changed so that women were allowed into combat arms. And so I said we've come full circle now. Wow. And that was wonderful.
Wow. So combat arms. So women weren't allowed to do that beforehand?
No, and that's the irony, because they were going to war all this time, and you know the battlefield is changed a long time ago. You're no longer there's no longer the front line is not that clear where it is, and so women were exposed to combat long before the right to go into the combat arms branches occurred. Wow. And but now they're there.
You're supposed to be a nurse.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Well, Clara Martin, she was on the front lines too as a nurse.
Yeah. Nurses have been in harm's way all along.
All the time.
I say about women travel writers, if you look back in history, they were there, but they weren't allowed to have that title of what they were doing, but they've always done it. They've been documenting things for many years. I want to bring our next guest, Betsy Hill, on. Now, BetsyWorld.com. And every time I type it, I go, bestie, because she's my bestie. I see her smiling. She's my bestie. But everybody, Betsy World, and that's BETSI.com. And tell me I got it right.
You got it right.
Okay. And listen, I got to go. Marie, give everyone yours, because you got a long one. What's your
travel notes and storytelling.com. Travel notes and storytelling.com.
Awesome. Okay. Everyone has beautiful websites, and as soon as you get on there, you want to go. You just want to go. Betsy, it seems like, I know the last time you were on the show, I think it was a while ago. It's you're past due.
Years.
Yeah. You were on talking about your boating adventures in the Caribbean, you know, Bahamas, Florida. Do you still focus on the boating adventures, or are you on land more now?
we're doing kind of everything. Of course, my favorite islands are the Bahamas, always have been, but travel is iffy. You know, especially there, because the medical, if COVID hits, an island shuts down. And so we tried, we've really not been back since late 2018. And I'm jonesing. I've got my fingers crossed. We'll see. But the East Coast of Florida comes to a close second. And we spent a lot of time in the Keys.
Right on. I was looking at flamingos the other day there, like not there, but on you know, social media. I'm like, oh, I gotta see the flamingos there. We've seen them in Naikuru, Lake Naikuru in Kenya. Now we have to see them, you know, here. That would be so awesome. But we've seen them also in Madison, Wisconsin in the snow, but that's because they put them there. Everywhere we go, we find a flamingo in the weirdest places.
Pink flamingos.
Yeah, it just happens. But Betsy, for you, what was your transition into writing?
So I worked in hospitality doing accounting and finance for restaurants and small hospitality sort of businesses. And, you know, my husband one day walked in and he said, honey, I just finished our taxes and you have become a tax liability. And my response was, yay!
Thanks a lot.
Well, yeah. Exactly. I found myself at a crossroads, and I came, the joke in my family is, as I came out of the womb writing with a pencil in my hand. And so for me, it was a natural transition, and Jim and I were still traveling on the boat and doing a whole lot more back then. And I started writing as a way to keep family and friends informed, and the rest kind of ended up as history, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
This is what's really interesting about women in travel writing is, that's what I was saying about when you look at old, you know, old way, way back with the women that were documenting things, they were documenting, and also they're the mother hen of the nest, and it is always about letting people know, and it would go further from that. You go in museums, there are journals, and these journals, I mean, even Fremont, who was part of the Great Manifest, you know, the Manifest Destiny, his wife wrote his journals, so they say, and we know it's true because he was out there doing this stuff.
It's
like,
about
I can't
the
write
detail.
This. Yeah,
it's
and the women detail. Knew how to do that, and so women know how to get their kids to listen most of the time. So I think that's why there's this connection. There's a maternal touch, not knocking men, I mean, at all. This is not, it's just the way it is with women, that I think that is part of it from in history. You know, when we look back, there's that connection of being able to, hey, this is what's going on now. You know, we're going to watch this, but, you know, hey, I'm going to be daring or whatever. You know, when you look back in history, it is absolutely fascinating. So you guys have been doing this a lot, and let's talk about women in history and travel writing for each of you. Diva Linda, is there someone that you look up to as a writer or a woman in history that inspires you to go beyond? And I have to tell everybody, Diva Linda came on our show years ago.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel anytime.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it, but nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
I love the playoffs.
Anything can happen.
But the best part? It's like bonus football. And bonus football means betting bonuses with Gambit DC. For a limited time, get up to a 57% multi-sport parlay boost on the Gambit DC app, online, or at any Gambit DC retail location throughout the district. It's the most exciting time to be a fan. So make your play and get the home field advantage with Gambit DC. Limited time offer. Terms and conditions apply. Please bet responsibly.
I mean, when we first started 15 years ago, and I remember you going, okay, you're writing about wine. And then one day it's like, no, I can do casinos. And then I'm like, well, you want to go hiking here? No. And then she went into an old mine with us one time in the mountains. Remember that, Diva Linda? And I'm like, I didn't know if you would do this because you have the right shoes. And then next thing you know, Diva's on a camel in Jordan. This was one of the trips that were connected with IFTWA, which was, I would say, probably one of those life-changing experiences. And I saw Diva in a hut. I saw Diva on a camel. And I went, Diva's like gone so far beyond wine tasting, which you still do very well, and taught us so much about travel with Diva Linda, and you will learn about wine and etiquette. But that didn't really stick. the wine did. But it really, just seeing your career and places you have been, the Czech Republic, you know, cruising, going to Christmas markets in Europe. But then the latest one is, you know, this big boating experience through the wild waters of Alaska for 3 months. I mean, seriously, like, Viva Linda, like, if you think 15 years ago where you are today, is that the kind of, because I know you've done nice cruises through Australia and all of that. You've done the Daintree Forest. I mean, I'm just thinking way back when to how your bio has kind of changed. I'm just saying the easy breezy stories have changed.
Well, when I first became a travel writer, I was, I made the switch because I had a PR company, and the PR company was sending turnkey stories to magazines, outlets, whatever, about wine regions, specifically the one in California. And then one day I thought, you know, which is typical for me, about 7 years and something, I'll go, that's enough. I've done that. Don't want to do that anymore. So I thought, what's next? So the next step was just doing my own writing and stop hosting people. And I wanted to be hosted. And but I came out with an awful big, strong knowledge of wine, and that was the easiest to write about at that point and what makes a good destination. But like anything, just like your travel in wine, you know, your journey in wine, you start with the cheap stuff and you go all the way up to the expensive stuff, where you find yourself something in there that you're the same. Same journey with chocolate. It's the same journey with
when you need the divorce and get that settlement.
Yeah, you need that's right. A nice retirement. Yes. And, absolutely. So anyway, things just present themselves. I just found that when I wrote specifically and only about wine, then readers would say, "Well, but where did you stay? Did they do wine pairings? What about wine pairings?" And all that stuff I was doing, I just wasn't writing about it. So it's just building on, most people come in with a foundation of something, a like of something specific. And then as you do more and more and more, you get less specific, I think, and you get broader in what you can write about. And, you know, who knew? I mean, just like you said, yesterday I spent my time looking at farms in Arizona. For God's sake, who knew Arizona?
Oh my gosh, I love this. Diva on a farm.
Diva on a farm. Once again, wrong shoes.
We're not the big swings from Alaska. But this is why we're the blend, right? And now we have to have all these different magazines, but we're still a blend. Our quality of life magazine now has recipes. Go figure. Why not? Yeah. You know, because I know it's this packaging marketing thing, and especially part of the crash also was the time of social media surgence. You got to think Twitter came on at that time. Facebook was going, but not like it is. You got to think about the publications. Advertising changed for everybody, where everybody started just, oh, we're doing Google ads and we're doing Facebook ads. What happened to the newspapers? Now the newspapers have Google ads. So we've had this huge change of what people can do from like the time when we go back these, you know, 15 years, Diva Linda. And, you know, it is pretty amazing. And if you don't say yes to new opportunities, you miss out. I think saying they're so right. But okay, so women for you.
I think the one that impresses me the most currently is Kate McHugh. I don't know if any of you know her. She is the first American woman to captain a cruise ship. And she's currently doing celebrity cruises. And she, I think that's where her first opportunity came. And currently they've given her the biggest, brightest, newest ship. And I love her little story.
Wow.
She just did a blog the other day about she's ready to go on the ship and she's getting on and somebody doesn't recognize who she is. And so she thought she'd have a little fun. She said, well, I think they said, well, you're going on the ship. Are you a guest? And she said, no, and I work on it. They said, oh, you must be in the spa. No, not in the spa. Well, are you the social director? No, not the social director. And so forth and so on. I think she did get one steward at one point, but finally she, let go and just said, no, I'm actually the captain. And, the person was amazed. Mm-hmm. Woman. I mean, it's not.
Yeah, it's not really true.
Not as amazed as you would have been 10 years ago, but still pretty amazed.
Still.
So for her, she just kept at it and at it and at it and honed her skills and did her tests and got her certificates and all that stuff and didn't give up. And there she is. And good for you, Kate. I salute you.
That's awesome.
I love that. I want to touch on Nancy real quick because Nancy, your travel went from taking groups to Kenya when you had never set foot out of the country to leading tours to Kenya, going of school teachers, going, well, it wasn't like this last year when everything went wrong.
I was told to say by the company who hired me, I'm like, I haven't been there, but they hired me because I'm really good at finding animals in the bush.
Yes.
I can see them. I can smell them. I know where they are. I know where they're hiding. So I got hired to lead a tour of people who wanted to see wildlife in Kenya.
Yeah, she did the newsletters there. As well for the airlines and did the, because she's an amazing wildlife artist, all the pen and ink sketches that went in these newsletters. You. So it started there and she was writing for newspapers and magazines. She went to Kenya and she tried to go to Jomo Kenyatta's funeral, which she did, and tried to take photos and got in trouble. Anyway, Nancy's got an interesting past.
She got in trouble. Some hand came over my head and took my camera away. Just like that.
But,
I was like, oopsie.
But I wanted to go. She worked with Joy Adamson, and a lot of people will remember the movie Elsa, the Lion Born Free, and you worked for her. And I also, there's something people don't really know, she ghost wrote a lot of Joy Adamson's books while she was there out in the bush. I mean, think about it, old school typewriter out in the bush, and that's what you're doing. But Joy Adamson was kind of crazy. So I wanted to say, Nancy, would you consider her with her books and what she was doing? Because she was an artist too, that she was a woman documenting and a travel writer in a way, going from the nature aspect and scientific writing. Would you consider her one of the first in that?
I would consider her a more than brave woman, a very stubborn and completely crazy. Like, she really didn't know what she was doing, I have to say. And being in her tented camp was like, you never really knew what was going to happen. She had affairs with a whole lot of different people in her tent.
Okay. It's a happy.
You can just take her books and there's not anything in there that I consider to really be all that true.
Mm.
It's true. The animals were, one of them came out of a zoo. It was just so not what the film portrayed, nothing like it at all. Mm. However, I will say this, in some aspects, what she did was important as far as putting the limelight on the ability to rehabilitate animals into the wild and please leave them there and don't take them out in the first place. That's, so from that aspect, Hollywood made a star out of somebody that, I'm sorry.
It was novel at the time. Her husband did a lot. Her husband, George.
Actually,
did
her husband was a ranger and a good one. And they were separated at the time, and he made way more sense than she did.
Yeah,
I have to say,
but
I'm
she
sorry,
did do but it. But in truth. Regards to what she was doing, though, there's, like you're saying, that limelight, and
So I think there's something where she, I mean, the whole organization Born Free, because of Virginia McKenna, mm-hmm. the actor, who's, mm-hmm. they've been on our shows years and years. And mm-hmm. it's just, there's just different ways of writing and doing things. Mm-hmm. And whether or not you like it or it's right or wrong, it's still, like you said, shone a light. And
yeah.
so conservation happens because of it. Mm-hmm. And also, how many women, we had Karen Blixen out of Africa. We lived on her mm-hmm. farm.
We lived on her farm.
And in the servants' quarters, which were houses at that point, real estate mm-hmm. wise. But yeah. Now it's very hoity-toity.
I know.
The neighborhood, look up the neighborhood of Karen. In outside Nairobi, Kenya, and have a look.
I've been there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. now you know what I'm talking about. That is like gone now, apparently, mm-hmm. not like what when we were living there. But you know, you think about her, mm-hmm. she really did bring a light. But it's just, mm-hmm. I think there was a novelty for when women did go out and do something crazy, like what Joy Adamson did, what Karen Blixen did, that shone a light. There's a novelty. There's also mm-hmm. integrity that should go with it. And I think that's where Nancy's going in what we mm-hmm. all write and do. Mm-hmm. And so it should, I think that's part of the motherly, maternal, let's have some integrity on it. Mm-hmm. But let's, Sharon, with you, who do you look to as inspiration?
Well, I thought about it and I went another direction. Mine is not a travel writer, but someone from my hometown in Greenville, Ohio.
Mm.
Feeling stuck in your current job? Looking for a career pivot? Are you a proven leader looking to step up? The University of Maryland's Robert H. Smith School of Business prepares students to meet challenges, solve problems, and obtain a profound understanding of how to operate in the modern economy. With MBA and MS programs offering flexible options to fit your lifestyle and goals. GMAT and GRE not required. Learn more today at go.umd.edu/Smith School. University of Maryland Smith School of Business. Inspired, fearless, unstoppable.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in nursing into your busy day. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Balance online coursework and in-person, local clinical, practicum, or immersion hours as you work towards graduation while leaving room for what matters. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Annie Oakley is from Greenville.
No Ohio. Way.
Cool. Yes. She was born in 1860 in Dark County, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And as a young girl, it was an impoverished family of six. And mm-hmm. they didn't have any way of, so to get food for the family, she'd go out with her father and shoot squirrels. Mm-hmm. Forest animals. And she became so good at it that she sold them to the other people, and then she became a skilled marksman. So she mm-hmm. joined finally this was when she was 15, she joined the Buffalo Bills Wild West Show.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. she had to make her way as a woman in the late 1800s, you know, the only woman in this Wild West Show. And so anyway, she became an advocate for women to learn a sport that was primarily dominated by men. Very early. She was probably the first of that type.
She's a badass.
She's a Billy the Kid.
Oh, yeah.
She's a Billy the Kid.
That's awesome.
There's a museum in town and there's Annie Oakley Days every summer, and she's buried at a cemetery. And she married her first promoter. And he, when she was very young, and they lived their life together, and they died within a few days of one another in 1926.
Wow. Annie Oakley, though, she is, you know,
awesome.
You think of her with that big old gun and you're like, wow, mm-hmm. back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, you got to think about Buffalo Bill being open-minded to mm-hmm. let women be part of it.
Well, that's an interesting story. He did not want her in the show, even though she was better than any man when she did a test. But the guy that was supposed to get the part in the show, he was on a riverboat and it sank and his guns went to the bottom of the river. And so he couldn't recover in time. And she was, while Bill reached out to her and she got his spot. So it still wasn't easy. None of her course through her career was easy, but.
Maybe she was on the bank and the boat was going by and she shot mm-hmm. a hole in it.
It could have been. Mm-hmm. Maybe she was determined. We know that.
Mm-hmm. There's a really good song. It's It's
by Annie, Johnny Mazur.
No, it's different. It's a different song. It's by Johnny Mazur, the Mama's Boys. I have to send it to you. And it says Buck Snort, but it's not. And I had the wrong name for years, but I'll have to send it to you. It's really good because it's like Annie's gonna get your gun, but like this song's, you're basically feeling like you're the rabbit being chased in the woods and you listen to it. It's a good song. So very cool. Annie Oakley's awesome. Mm-hmm. So let's go to you, Marie. Who's inspiring you?
Well, there's so many, it's hard to say, but I would go to Elizabeth Cochran Seaman, otherwise known as Nellie Bly. Because she did that 72 days around the world.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not a journalist by any means, but I like to investigate what's going on and I'll take the risk. Human interest stories, environment, what's going on with our wildlife. I love that. Mm-hmm. So right now I have myself involved in writing a story for a South Carolina Wildlife magazine about gun dogs. And so I'm out there in the swamps before daylight.
Right on.
with waders on. And I just think Nellie Bly would have done that too. She wouldn't turn anything down when she was wanting to investigate and write about something.
Cool. We know about South Carolina and your swamps and have been there with the gators. And you do not touch the Spanish moss because little chiggers will come and get you.
Chiggers get you.
And that's true.
I had them recently, Lisa. I had those chiggers recently last July. From the mountains to the sea across South Carolina the whole month of July.
Was this part of Appalachian Trail? No, it wouldn't be.
Right? No, this is this is the Palmetto Trail. It goes from the mountains to the sea.
Okay.
And it's contained within the South Carolina National Heritage Corridor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that for the month of July. And somewhere in the middle, those chiggers got me.
Yeah, see, there's...
I think I got them in Arkansas because they didn't go away. it was Arkansas. We went in that. We were fine. It started in Lubbock with mosquitoes, and then we went to Arkansas and we went hiking in the woods and all of a sudden I was itchy for months. Like it was like a month, like it was winter and I still had bumps on my legs. Would that be chiggers?
It's very, very possible. But a good traveling companion is you can use witch hazel. It's really good.
Apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm. Apple cider vinegar. Go.
Yeah, we carry that.
Good fingernail peroxide.
Yeah, hydrogen peroxide is really, really good.
Yeah, we travel with that.
Yes, yeah, so if you're gonna walk through sugar country, it's good. Put it on the soles of your feet before you put your socks on.
Yeah, apple cider vinegar is good.
Yeah.
Because Nancy just likes to cover herself with rum and then
that doesn't work. That brings a whole bunch of things like bees and hornets.
So Betsy, what about you? Who do you look to as inspiration in women's history?
So mine's a little different. There's two things. I love women badasses. And I love women who not only break the glass ceiling, but stomp it to pieces. And in my book, the one that I love is Amelia Earhart.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
So full of confidence. Mm-hmm. She tackled a round-the-world flight because every man who had ever flown them said, oh, it can't be done. Mm-hmm. And Amelia says, oh, it can be done, and I will do it.
Good for her.
She's just a big badass
and beautiful too. Like she was all into beauty and cosmetics and I can fly a plane and put lipstick on. Look at this. She was a diva.
you know who else was really badass is Juliet Childs. She was
I love
spy.
Her. Yes.
I mean, think of that. She's a spy, and then here she's her little cooking show. La 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 la. Meanwhile,
but she was a World War II spy. Yeah,
there's a spy.
Yeah.
Awesome. I gotta shout out to Clementine Pedalford. I know every time we do these shows, I always bring her up because her and Priscilla, Susan Thu, rode around on horseback and documented Sequoia National Park before it was Sequoia National Park. And it's what helped create Kings Canyon Park now and expand it. And she inspired Ansel Adams to get off his butt and do some more than he was already so famous and doing so well. And so it's Susan Priscilla Thew, and we love Priscilla because our sock monkey travel mascot is Priscilla. But she did that. But Clementine Paddleford was one of the first food travel writers, and they eventually flew her around on a plane. She went out into the Midwest where people never went. And, you know, they just like, it's the main cities for food. And she went, well, what is America eating? And went out and documented what America is eating. There's a great book, Hometown Appetites. And she would go into small towns, into the farmers' kitchens, and sit down and get the real story. And so Clementine Paddleford, she's they ended up flying her around. She did some cool stuff. And as far as I'm concerned, the Midwest is cool. I dig it. I like it out there. That's cool. It's pretty. So I want to ask each of you three things. Where was the last place you went to that you're going to write a story about or have written a story about? Where's next? And then where's a dream place that you want to go once everything becomes normal? Whatever that is, right? And then Nancy's got a crazy question following up on that. You know Nancy on that. Mm-hmm. So let's start with you, Sharon.
I saw those eyes. Okay.
Nancy, yeah, no, Sharon, let's start with you on this. So where was the last place that you're writing about?
Place I visited was Turkey in October.
Wow, very cool.
And it was a great trip, and I fell in love with Istanbul. That was always my dream to go there. It's where East meets West. It's Asia and Europe. It's just fascinating. So I wrote a story for Food, Travel, and Wine magazine.
Right on.
That is due in 2 weeks. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Awesome. Ooh, so where is next?
Next, Costa Rica.
Cool.
I'm going to Costa Rica February 6th for 3 weeks. I've always wanted to go. I want to see the beautiful landscapes and the wildlife. And
toucans.
So I will go a couple days early and for work and write about some properties that I'll visit while there. And the rest is a personal vacation.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Nice. So where do you want to go once everything gets normal?
Oh, I want to go to Jordan.
Oh,
I am dying to go to Jordan. I was supposed to lead a tour to Egypt in February.
Right.
And in group travel right now, it is just a tough, tough time. The ladies, who knows what's going to happen? They're afraid they're going to get somewhere and get stuck. They won't know how to get back.
Yeah.
And no one in the end would firm up that trip in time for it to make. So instead of going to Egypt, I thought, well, darn, I'm going somewhere in the Middle East anyway. And Jordan's where I want to go as soon as I can get there. Maybe like April.
Awesome. Mm. Good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
I love that. I love that. Betsy, what about you? Where was the last place?
Last place was St. Augustine that was written about in Travel Awaits and all about food. I could literally eat my way through St. Augustine.
By the way, you have great recipes on your website too.
Thank you.
A lot of good cocktails in there, I'm just saying.
Yes, yes. I do like my cocktails and my wine.
Hopefully we'll see you when we get through Florida at some point this year.
Hopefully
see you all. That's the one thing we're hoping, but we're just dodging bullets and staying. We just hang out with gators in the swamps with the jiggers.
It's safe. It's safer
right now until we're just, you know, because we travel full time. And so we're trying not to be too exposed, but and we're vaccinated, everybody, we're fine, but don't want everybody whining on me. But Betsy, where's next?
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Huntsville, Alabama, the end of February. Nice.
Very nice. Very nice. Beautiful area. There's a wonderful wildlife refuge out near there.
I hear that. That's why I'm going to go out a couple of days early.
Good, cool. Good. Because they have sandhill cranes and you might see them at that time
awesome.
Of year.
Uh-huh. Yes. It's so awesome.
We saw them in January on our way from Madison, Wisconsin snow to town.
That and we're crazy. Like,
turn, there's birds. And it's a little
They're
warmer.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. I live on 9 acres here in Central Florida, and we've got sandhill cranes and turkeys and deer. They just all wander right
you
down
live in
that
beautiful nice. Area. Florida is awesome. Cool. Where's a dream escape that you haven't been?
Oh, we were just talking about this the other night. I really would love to explore parts of Eastern Europe that I have not seen. I've been to the Soviet Union twice. I have not seen Hungary, and I've not seen Poland. And so that's really the dream.
I want to come with you. We've got our family roots in Hungary, so I want to go. It's there. And I know Diva Linda has been to Eastern Europe, right? And the Czech Republic, that connects with you deeply. That area. And I remember that garlic soup recipe you brought back. What was that? What were you drinking that one day wine stuff? What was that?
That way it was like I couldn't even pronounce it if I wanted to. Or something like that. it's like a one day exactly.
It's hooch. Pure hooch.
People come with wagons to get it. And take it home, and I don't know what in the hell we do with it because you got to drink it fast. It's not something that you can like bottle and leave forever. But that was great. That was fun. I enjoyed that. Yeah.
So where was the last place for you? I've seen you all over Arizona lately.
Yeah, you know, all over Arizona. But I think my last big trip was that 3 month. I can't even describe it. 3 months in Alaska on a boat. Was
Diva on a boat
that in Alaska
sounds like an SNL thing. Like I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's like it's its own country, you know. Diva on the boat for 3 months. Not so good. No, not
too. Maybe you got to go with Betsy on the tropical style, like
maybe. Boats just really aren't my thing, but they are my husband's thing, and that of course. And I'll be on it in June of this year, but not going so far. But I have been discovering Arizona little bits by bits. And it is interesting that if you post things on Facebook and Twitter, magazines will find you and they will say to you, I see you've been here, there, and everywhere. And would you like to, write that up for us? That's been my experience. So those who say
that
social media doesn't bring jobs, it does actually.
It does.
Mm-hmm. But you have to be open to it and you have to be ready for it and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so Alaska was a big one. Currently is very interested in the fact that Arizona has a lot of garden areas, agriculture, huge in agriculture. And I don't think it's going to be here for long. You go out to these beautiful farms and they're just surrounded by homes and you can just tell that the new homes, and you just can tell that the developers are chomping at the bit. Even where I live, that I just saw in the newspaper and thought, oh god, somebody had got a permit for 7,000 homes in this little community that I live in. It's just gonna clog everything up, blah blah blah. So you can't stop progress, but Arizona is a very interesting place to live. And I guess I didn't really think about that it was really agricultural. I should have from Yuma, because we would spend the time in Yuma and all that agriculture, birds, wildlife, it's similar down here.
Yeah. Your area is still very, especially up by Mesa and up north of Casa Grande where all the cotton is grown. If you go south of Tucson, Sayurita, south of there a little bit, Rio Rico, and it gets into Santa Cruz. It's right on the border, so people get freaked out, but we don't. It's beautiful. You go hiking out there. I mean, this is where the jaguars are starting to slowly come back through. El Jefe it's awesome, and it's one of the most dearest places in our world, and they are doing agriculture, and they're also using a lot of Native American traditional ways of growing, and that's something very special. In Mexican ways too. And it's just there are these cattle ranches, agriculture, but they've managed to, keep their land going.
while they're facing all the issues at the border.
I think tourism, as you and I've discussed, you know, is very important, but planning, you need to plan your cities and your states.
Diva run for president.
I know you have the same feeling. Tourism dollars bring in lots of money.
But the community and the tourism sector need to, we have a whole series on national park traveling about it, but the community and the tourism community need to connect more. And I'm thinking through COVID, maybe people start to realize, oh, my restaurant, oh, this, oh, maybe I want to see my family, but not in my house, put them somewhere, so this change over and realizing that tourism dollars affect everything. It helps put, kids through school and keep schools there. And that's why having responsible, regenerative, I can say that word now, it's been taking me a while to get there. Sustainable tourism is so important. And having these communities, it's huge. As we travel now, we're seeing places that are really beautiful. We get there and we'll go back a year later. We're now into that new thing of, going back to an area like Austin, Asheville. Both of them are very similar. One's, Texas, one's up in the mountains in North Carolina. But everybody, because of COVID, now wants places that are scenic. And it's like, if you have a square inch of land, someone's going to squeeze their butt in there. And it's like, that's not quality of life. If you're doing that, you're already going against what you thought. But we're seeing that building is going on everywhere and people are moving to the rural areas, which are nice. And I get it, man. I don't want to live in smog. That's why I just travel. I have to deal with it. Honestly, who wants to? I don't want to deal with it. But you see that happening. And yeah, that balance has to happen. Even with regards to huge hotel complexes and coming into small areas, small communities, that bed and breakfast needs that. Or, you know what I mean? There has to be a balance. And yeah, Diva Linda, you're really right. But where's next for you?
Well, I'm hoping that I'll finally, after 2 years, be able to go to Russia this year.
That's awesome.
And then I really, really, really want to go see Ireland and Scotland. I've seen so many other wonderful things. And most people start with England, Ireland, Scotland, but somehow I did the whole different route. And I really would like to see that. So fingers crossed that that all works out for me in the fall. I think maybe in the fall will be a really good time.
I hope so.
In the summer, plus we have the whole boating thing in the summer. So in the fall, life gets back to normal.
So you get wine on the boat. So at least you
I
got
get wine.
Wine
on the boat. I've always been very lucky to
and find an espresso machine.
Yeah, and sucks that energy just right out of the whole boat. It's fabulous. Anyway, yeah. So I've always been happy to have a company send me a box of or two of wine, and then we have it the whole summer with different things that we're celebrating, eating, entertaining, so forth. So that's always been fun. I hope to find somebody like that. I think we're doing Eight at the Gate. That would have been a nice wine. Eight at the Gate is a wine
company. Got the wine.
Got the wine, so
yeah, we got the wine. Where Netsa keeps eyeballing. I said, "No, we got."
I know. I'm like, how long is it going to sit there?
No, it's really good. Okay, well, we're going to open it. You know what? The sun is shining right after this interview. I don't care what time it is. We're going outside in the sun. And we'll open up one of the white bottles. It's Australia wines and South African wines, New Zealand wines. When they are just masters of white wines. I wanted, and we're going to get to Marie with where you're going and what you've done recently. But Linda, you brought up something that I remember from years ago in an interview talking. You said Russia, you're going there. That's what you're hoping is going to happen for next. And you've been to Jordan. You were going to Turkey, Egypt. You were talking about, the Middle East, Czech, everyone going everywhere. These are places that families, and I remember we did a travel writer insider with you a long time ago. And you said, your family, when you were going to Jordan and, even going to the Czech Republic, that as a woman going there, without your family there to watch over you, this is a scary thing. And that's why I brought up Nancy earlier with her
going to Kenya was dangerous and shit happened, quite frankly. and so we learned. Okay, we learned to be aware, you know. So
it's like if you go to this country and then it took a year and a half to get out. Hello.
Well, you learn all these things and you learn awareness and being. So you brought up that, you know, Russia right now, people are going, you're going to go to Russia now. You know, so let's start with you on that. What is your family? Are they at this point going, there's no bother trying to talk you out of it? Like, where is that on that conversation of safety?
I think once I made it through Jordan without a hiccup, there was never another conversation like that. Jordan was the hardest one. Luckily, my daughter, Nicole, spent 3 or 4 years in Eastern Europe for us. And so she fell in love with that part, that whole part there. She actually ended up marrying a German national and who you know. And so she was always comfortable with me going to the Czech or wherever, Poland, wherever that was, you know, because she'd been there and she thought it was just fine. But the foot came down when I said, I'm going to Jordan, even though it was on a planned trip with IFDRA and, you know, there'd be guides and all that kind of stuff. And there was no hiccup whatsoever. It was a fabulous trip and I'm glad I didn't listen to any of them. So no, after that, you know, they just, they gave up trying to have an opinion on where I went, you know, just said, well, you know, be safe and have a good time. And, you know, but there is that initial trip where your family goes, holy shit, what are you thinking? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even with a guide, you know, come out with, you know,
come oh, be careful of the guide. It's like, oh
yeah,
my gosh.
Yeah, be careful of the guide.
Oh, be careful of the house cleaner going in your hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, that one too. Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Possibly think of it. And, you know, and okay, so.
Don't eat salad. Don't have ice.
Know, oh, God. Oh, yeah. You know, so I did it all. I didn't care. I did absolutely.
Just have a cocktail and get over it. But
get that pretty.
But keep your eyes open and your ears open. Honestly,
you know, there's going to be somebody who's going to not have a good time for one of those reasons. It wasn't me, and all I can say was it was Jordan in particular. People. I'm getting on the airplane. Don't go. You don't know what you're doing. I'm going. Goodbye. But that's funny. You know,
You got on a camel and they smell lovely.
Got it. You know, and I thought they it was have fabulous, a beautiful, you know?
They have I love beautiful camels. Temperament.
I love camels. I
was
love
on a donkey them. Too. I was on a burro. Who knew?
You were on a donkey.
I was.
All right, it's funny. Sharon, what about you? Because you went to Turkey, you did Egypt. I mean, even the Egypt thing, you went off on your own. Like here, I'm going to Egypt, and you were literally on your own because no one was traveling there.
I have been adventurous since I was a little child, and there's just my husband knows there's no stopping me. He takes Linda, your family, is okay, go, be safe, send me pictures, and he just trusts me. And I've been all over the world by myself, and I'm going to continue. Yeah. COVID makes it a little harder, but you just have to be smart. You have to be safe, but the world hasn't stopped, and I'm not going to stay home and
look at you. I'm not doing it. It's not happening. Betsy, for you, like going to places like you were talking about, and you know, just East Europe, all of that.
I don't usually go by myself, to be honest, because Jim loves those sorts of places. I do a lot of domestic by myself, but when we do international, he usually always comes with. And the best takeaway I have, no matter where you are in the entire world, is situational awareness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And buddy system. And I mean, you guys also sail. And I know, Linda, you can connect on that where that's a teamwork. That's not absolutely. One of us can just sit and drink espresso while everything's flying. And that's not happening. That's, you have to, Nancy and I have a buddy system. Yeah. We travel. It's like, if we stop at a rest area or somewhere, we go together. And we've done it one time. We just forgot. And I got back in the car and I looked at her like, we are so stupid.
Yeah,
just because we're in the middle of Idaho somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's freezing. Yeah. Doesn't mean anyone can attack. Things happen at rest areas.
Yeah.
Things we have a radio show coming up, Rest Area Radio, just so people can hear the weird. We watch drug deals and everything. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. We have a new character, Rest Area Rambo.
Rambo. That, you know, they, I can't Barney even explain Fife move over. This
man.
That's awesome. But I want to go to you, Marie. We're going to go back to where you were and all of that and where you're going to, but especially with your career in the military, we're talking about, you know, traveling off and going to all these places. What are your thoughts on that? Where have you been that you're like, or do you just, I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, if you go way back, I think Panama at the fall of Noriega. During that time period. Ooh. I was there before the actual fall, but yikes. just slid out of there just before it. And so to give you an example, when I got there, first of all, my bags didn't arrive, but I didn't have to worry about uniforms because they told me don't wear uniforms. I was staying downtown. So you would be arrested if you were caught in an American uniform downtown. And so I stayed.
What did you really do in the military?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it would take a while.
Yeah, I bet.
I stayed in a luxury hotel that had a lounge at the top of it, and it was just beautiful. But when the General Lefty was the Southcom commander there, and he showed up there at the lounge. And his command sergeant major came to my table and said, I guess you'll be on our battalion run in the morning.
Nice.
And so I was, but my pocketbook was stolen on the way in there. And I was in the vehicle with two military police. And so the guy came up to the side of the car. I was on the passenger side with the window halfway down. My pocketbook was in between my legs. And so the guy yelled into the window, and I did like that with my hands up, and he reached in and grabbed my pocketbook and ran. So I had no other clothes but what I had on, and no pocketbook, nothing.
Oh, no, ID then too?
Everything is gone.
The ID is a big deal.
That's a
and
big deal.
So my two sponsors that I had loved to go out into the jungle and drink beer, and but I got tasked to perform protocol officer duties, even though I was a signal officer. They said we don't need signal, we need protocol. And so I flew around in a Black Hawk the whole time with the side stuff, even when it was pouring down rain. And plan menus and those type things.
And the Black Hawk, holy cow.
Yes, and as I was leaving Panama, all the military were being brought back onto the installations because of the danger there. Everything that I had in my room was stolen out of my room. What I gathered after I bought everything that I needed again, replaced what I had lost that didn't arrive.
Wow. So I mean, yeah, we are at this point when you and your, I mean, we used to go back and forth to Mexico a lot and weird things, not bad, but like I learned, you know, which is something we learned in Africa, is spread your money out, and it's really about anywhere, and this is about the States too.
Never put don't all keep your all money your, in one
don't
place.
Put all your cash in one place. Never. You know, put it in the bottom of your shoe. You know, when we got robbed at gunpoint in New Orleans, and my grandparents were in the back seat of the car, and they're little people, and it's weird because I'm Amazon woman, but the little they're all this guy's going around, and Nancy and I chased the guy, which was stupid, but we just came out of Africa, then, and at a time where
he
just
turned around, and we realized, oh yeah, he does have,
and
a
he
gun.
Had a gun.
And we're
like, hello,
what are we doing?
It was dumb. And to get, there was no cell phones at that time. We went into, it was a Shoney's restaurant in New Orleans, and I had to go in to get them to call 911, and they wouldn't call because they were on a personal call. And I'm like, you set this up. Like, I'm pretty sure
you're right about that.
I mean, we'd just come from just riots and everything that was going on in Africa and in South Africa. And so our brains were a little different. And I literally reached over, took the phone, reached over the hostess desk, pulled some, I will be calling 911. And that's how we got two cops. And they came in. And at this point, we started chasing the guy. The guy, you know, and that was dumb. But my grandmother, he took everything. He took, luckily, the keys. Nancy told him where to go. She didn't see the gun. And her thing was, we're going to get carjacked, which is what happened in Africa all the time. So yeah, she was like, grab the keys and he's going to steal the car. And then she told him where to go. And then he's like, oh yeah. And all the language I'm not supposed to say on the show. And grandmother of all people, who is pretty, I'm sorry, but a little on the ditzy side, took her money and she'd been playing. That's why we were late. She'd never been to a casino. And she got us stuck in Biloxi, Mississippi, on a barge with in a casino, and she thought this was the best thing ever. She had a good time. She made money. She took this wad of cash and put it down her pants. It was in her pantyhose because she wore pantyhose back then. And so we leave. The cops come, and the guy goes, "Was he black like me or black like him?" And I'm looking at him going, Jesus, what? You know, I don't know how to answer that.
He said,
that.
Actually, what he says, was he cream like me or chocolate like him?
Yeah, it was just a weird thing. And we're like, we don't know how to answer that. So eventually we leave and I'm going, we have to get all the way back to Pensacola or Fort Walton. That's where we were. And we need gas money. I didn't know where we were. There's no GPS. Look at it. We're driving all through Bourbon Street, all through New Orleans places, not knowing. All I know is there's a highway up there and I'm getting on that damn highway. And boy, did I drive like a bad. Finally, we got on the highway. And if it wasn't for my granny stuffing her money down her pants,
she got some smarts.
We would not have had gas to get home. Mm-hmm. On the way back to Nancy's place, we stopped at my apartment and got wine and cigarettes because I smoked them. Because I needed them. I was like all shaky. But it's weird. You have to have that awareness. And we got robbed because we were too busy chit-chatting with them.
Yeah.
Instead of being the situational awareness, you know. And it's easy to just get comfortable in a place and like everybody and not have that awareness, male or female.
We didn't have the right flags in our brain for where we were. We were in a bad part of town, but didn't get that because we had lived in Africa where everything looked like that. So we were quite comfy and we didn't get it because we were just brand new. And my parents totally didn't get it. So there we were in a stupid place to be at a stupid time.
Yeah.
And even, I have to say, even the policemen were really lame.
But that's
we're still here. So.
The awareness, you know, Marie, any tips for women traveling?
Well, situational awareness is a good one. In fact, when my pocketbook was stolen, I was on an overpass. We were at a red light on an overpass. So you, it was a window halfway down. But when people are desperate, they'll go to extreme means to get what they need. And so that, I think that's one of the biggest ones right there. In fact, I'm still skeptical. I was going to ask Linda about going to Jordan, going to Russia, but if she's going alone, because I'm still skeptical of going places like that alone. And I really like tours by locals, you know, tours by locals is all over the world. And I've done some amazing trips. One was in Montgomery, Alabama. And the guy who did that tours by locals, he had marched with Martin Luther King. He was just a child then.
Wow.
And the parents told them, he and his siblings, y'all stay at home. This is going to be bad. Well, they didn't stay at home. And King got kind of told to Montgomery. They left the house and went and joined. And so that guy had the inside story. He was so well versed. And so I thought, you know, Russia is in my plans too. I see that on the horizon. And I'm wondering if tours by locals would be a good thing to do there. Because they told me so far, when I've looked into it, that they can get me to where I need to be for photography and add that to it if I need it. And so that was one thing I was going to ask Linda about, whether she's planning on going there alone with the group or
Well, when I go to Russia, I'll be on Viking. I'll be on the Viking cruise, and it'll all be arranged, and there'll all be supervised, and they give you some small unsupervised time, but mostly you're with a guide in the front and and a person in the back, and the excursions are not real long, so there's not a whole lot of because I've been on Viking a lot, so and I think they have the thing to do when you travel to some of these places is to make sure that on your first trip especially that you nicely get a lay of the land. Being extremely adventurous on your first try, maybe not so much, maybe on your second or your third try. And I would highly suggest, Jordan has a visitors bureau in New York, and they are really, really doing outreaches now to get people to go back and visit. So their tourism is really, really ramping up. I'm
hoping that Linda, perhaps I was in Jordan with Great Escape Publishing. That was led by Joe Sindor, photographer. And I did climb those 800 steps at Petra on the donkey.
Oh my God.
From the treasury to the monastery.
Yeah.
But that was an incredible trip.
Yeah, I just think that if you're going to a brand new place and not in a group or guided session, going to the Visitors Bureau and asking for trusted sources and looking those up, and not being extremely adventurous on your first trip is probably, especially in if you're not quite sure. Now, I never ever had a problem in Jordan. It was probably the safest trip I ever took, ever, anywhere, including Europe. Hands off on everything. It was just crazy. It was
awesome wine. It's one of the oldest wine regions in the world.
But I think when you're traveling, if you act nervous or disorganized, you invite, not on purpose, of course, but you invite the person who is looking for someone who is distracted, disorganized, looks out of place, looks nervous. They're not looking to rob somebody who's looking at them saying, hey, stand back, I'll kill you and eat your feet.
And don't walk with your phone in your face. Don't do that.
Oh, the phone.
Be aware. The phone thing.
Seriously, the phone.
The phone thing. People are so unaware. I mean, we've watched people walk into cars and walk into.
Oh, we've watched.
And I think it's funny.
And it's funny, but it isn't.
It's not. So, but as you're traveling, be aware of all of and it's just general.
You need eyes in the back of your head, which means you turn around. If you hear something deep down, you turn around.
Yeah.
Let them know that you know. You know, you've got to make your space like, this is my space. I see, I watch, and I will react. You can't be distracted to the point of, and you definitely can't act dizzy female. You can't.
I don't think anyone here has that attitude of, we're not the ones. If we got chased in the woods, we're not tripping over anything. None of us are tripping.
And we're not going to be wearing red high heels going,
well, Diva Linda might. No, but she'll have her boots on with blinkies. You know, that's a thing. She will. You know, you get the right shoes for the right job and you can still bling it up. So I want to go back to you, Marie. Mm-hmm. So where was your last place? Where's next? And where do you want to go?
Okay. I was in Iceland in November.
Wow.
And the land of fire and ice. And I haven't written the story yet, but I'm working on that soon because it was so incredible to get off the bus and step onto the ground. I felt like I was on a different planet. I really felt like I was on a different planet because the earth, there's steam and smoke coming out of the earth everywhere. And during that season, it's not green and pretty. It looks like you're on the moon. But the whole thing was just so different for me that I can't wait. The land was so rugged. We went to the glaciers, did a lot of things, and I just want to get back to that and write about it soon.
Cool. Where's next?
Next I'm going to Hawaii. I told you that, but I had so many trips lined up that have been postponed. They're all crashing into each other now. I had Bali on there, and it's like I had Bali for May. It's been postponed twice. And now it looks like it's going to be postponed again until the fall. And so the Bali, and then I have England, Wales, Scotland, Ireland. It looks like the England, Wales, Scotland part of it might be postponed. And then I also had Istanbul. Somebody mentioned that. The Aegean.
Oh, well, yeah.
And the Greek islands. I have that coming up in the October timeframe this year.
Well, hopefully it'll all come through. I know this whole year has been a little bit interesting that way. So where do you want to go that you haven't been?
Oh, Russia.
Yeah, there it is, Russia. Yeah, cool.
That's so funny. Those onion domes. I just am fascinated by the whole place. I will especially go to Moscow.
Excellent. So, okay, in closing, Nancy has an interesting question for each of you. In regards to,
okay, so here it is, ladies.
Yeah.
Yes, here's the question. And then Lisa, you can call on them when they're ready to answer. But you are each going to be featured in a travel film, okay? And so the question is, who would you want to play your part in the film? And who would you like to be the male counterpart in the film?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, wow. Come on, a travel movie. It could be a road trip movie. It could be on a boat. You could go anywhere. It could be like a whole James Bond style.
It could be anything.
There's always travel in film.
It's travel based, so you get to go somewhere exotic
or wherever you want.
And who's going to play your part? And who is the male counterpart? Because you gotta
Sharon,
have...
you look ready for this.
Yes. Oh, I'm thinking. Oh, wow. My brain's going. Oh, I would like Diane Lane to play me.
Oh, that's a good
one. Loved her in Under the Tuscan Sun. You know, she had bad luck. She went to Tuscany. She bought that house and fixed it up, and there was a little romance in there. Oh, but romance for men. Oh, I would like George Clooney to be my.
Oh, well, geez.
This is a geez. Oh my gosh. All right. What about you, Betsy?
Kate Winslet. And I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, she's seeing the dude.
Yellowstone. Who's the Kevin Costner?
Kevin Costner. I like that. I just went to the music of Yellowstone. Ryan Bingham. Just go to that. Diva Linda?
Let me pass on that for now. I've got the woman. I just don't know who the man might be. I have to give a little bit more thought.
Oh, she's thinking about the dude. Yeah. Okay, Marie, who have you got?
Well, I think Meryl Streep.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah. She's the best. She really is. Some people don't like her though, and they're rude. That's just, you know, it's rude.
Well, I kind of like that about it. You know, people have mixed feelings about her.
No, she's cool. I like her. Yeah. Who's gonna be your dude?
Well, I hate to repeat what's already said, but I had George Clooney down here. I'm gonna keep him here.
I'll share
them
with you.
We'll share. Okay. Two for Sharon. George Clooney. Diva Linda, have you got your dude?
Yeah, I think, so Goldie Hawn.
Oh, nice. Oh,
cool.
I just think because she's fun. Mine would have to be a comedy.
I love her.
It can be a drama. That could be a comedy. And maybe, what's the name of the guy that just got killed in the spy movie? The big spy movie, but you know, the big franchise.
Daniel Craig?
No, yes. Yeah, he'd be good.
Are you talking about the James Bond dude?
Another James Bond dude. Yeah,
James Bond.
Last one. They just killed him off.
Daniel Craig.
So I think I might be right. I think it's Daniel Craig, but anyway. Or Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant's funny. I like Hugh Grant.
Is funny.
That would be good for comedy.
I like Hugh Grant and Goldie Hawn make good.
That would be good.
Makes sense.
That's pretty funny. That's pretty cool. I like that. Very good.
I don't think Daniel Craig is all that funny.
Nancy, are you still taking Chris Christopherson?
Absolutely.
Oh, we like him.
Yes,
oh,
we do.
Yeah, yeah. Who's your woman? Who are you? Who's you? Who is you?
Diane.
There's some
Keaton.
Good grammar.
Diane Keaton.
Oh, like her. Yeah.
Yeah, good. She's good. She's good. She's good.
But she better stay off of Kris Kristofferson.
All right. Final question before we go. It's been so much fun with you, ladies.
Yeah.
You know,
awesome.
You know, we do these shows again every second Tuesday, every second Friday. You hear IFTWA members, the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association members here on Big Blend Radio. So bigblendradio.com, IFTW.org is the website for IFTWA. But this is, you know, this is a benefit. Even on the shows, I always think that's really cool to hear, and for our audience to hear about different destinations, mm-hmm. to hear about different travel writers are talking about that. It's the important, like Diva Linda, you were talking about social media, building up who you are as a travel writer. It's social media, on your blogs, people connecting with you. It's important that they know who you are. Where mm-hmm. gone are the days where nobody knows who you are and you sit at a typewriter and you just pretend you're not there. That doesn't exist anymore. Nope. You know, people need to know who you are, and you have to be, you know, promote yourself. So see a lot of value in that. But from each of you, just, you know, one thing about what you enjoy being a member for, because I know you've all been a member for a while. And Sharon, for you, what's, you know, we've got Diva Linda, the perhaps president here.
Yeah.
You know, but
I joined because for the professional development, I've gained so much from being a member. We have webinars about writing skills and how to pitch a story and meeting with tourism bureaus in places. And then I get invited to those places. So mm-hmm. it's wonderful for professional development for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Cool. What about you, Betsy?
I'd have to second what Sharon said. I think the professional development, but also the networking, and then the benefits, like you all, like the Big Blend radio and the show. So I think those are all benefits.
Well, thank
We're
you.
We're a benefit.
We're beneficial.
Ooh.
No, but I think also, like, you gotta think about the, you know, Food, Wine, Travel magazine, the FWT magazine for IFTWA too. Oh. Beautifully done. And it always showcases writers.
Really well done.
It's like putting the writers first, you know, in there. The way they do it is really good. Marie, for you, how long have you been a member?
Not that long. It seems like I was, didn't it change the name or something, because I was a member on Great Escape Publishing, Travel Writers Cafe, and then I don't know how this came about, but anyway, when I saw it, I joined maybe a year ago, and I joined because of the inspiration, like I'm getting right now. I just love hearing what everybody else is doing, and that inspires me to try to do it and think that I can do it.
Oh, that's cool. And cool. It seems that everyone works together and helps each other with, you know, you know, if you're going here, I'll give you this person's name, or, you know, it just seems like everyone's supporting each other instead of, competition.
Competing.
I mean, there's competing, and that's always a necessary thing in life, but there's also this camaraderie of helping each other move forward. And I think that's a really special thing when you see members of an organization do that, because they're also showcasing the organization and makes that organization do better. It's kind of a full circle thing, you know. I remember a friend of ours who runs a chamber of commerce. She's like, it's not just about what the chamber can do for you, it's what can you do for the chamber of commerce. It's a two-way street on that, you know.
Well, Lisa, I'll add to that, because that was one of the reasons I started my blog. I built the website, and then I realized I needed to get to a higher level. I needed a host, so I did that. And but I just couldn't figure out how to break into getting a byline in a magazine. It seemed so overwhelming. To try to do it, you'd have to do hundreds before you might even get an inkling of something. And so I said, okay, I'll just create my website and let me start writing. And then that led to the photography, because I wanted my own images there. That's how it happened. So getting to hear the stories of other people really helps me. It inspires me. It tells me that, you know, I can do it, because these are awesome stories I've been hearing.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Diva Linda, as past president and now member, and you're still running marketing and, you know, on the board and everything. For you, what's a better value? It's like, obviously you've got, you know, all of the answers on that, but, you know, for you now, because you've been in it so many years and you've seen it, you know, really rise up. I know with Marilyn Hill, you know, also, you know, other people in past presidencies, Michelle Winner, you know, we watched this organization mm-hmm. start to flourish. It wasn't flourishing at the beginning, or, you know what I mean? It did well, and it's really grown. I mean, to have a magazine, to have conferences, which has been difficult mm-hmm. with COVID and everything, but all these trips, I mean, Jordan, you know, I think those are things that it's really grown into.
I joined because my first interaction with this association was they came to me and asked for wine for one of their conferences. And so I did give them wine from the wine region that I represented. And through that, I learned more about it. And that was just at the tipping point where I decided that I wanted to be, I was going to go from being a commercial writer to a travel writer. And I found also that you really need a credential. You need something. People do ask, hosts do look at your credentials. And if they see that you're mm-hmm. part, and I remember I used to host people, I really wanted to know, did they take the time, the interest, the money to invest in themselves in a professional organization? So mm-hmm. I find that extra step really helped. And it really helped my career, made it much easier for me, I think. And I stay because I love the organization. I started the professional development of things, but that's the teacher background in me. Mm-hmm. So that there was a need for that, because people would call and say, well, how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, how do you talk to a wine region? How do you, you know, get a trip? What, you know, so I started the professional development series, and it started at first. It took the first 2 years, it didn't work out well because we didn't have the right, I hadn't found the right chair yet. And then we found the right chair, and the chair is up, and it just has become everything more that I could have wanted. And
that's awesome.
It's awesome. And I think I really enjoy the conferences. I like going to the conferences and meeting everybody. And it's another great time where you can get lots of fam trips, media trips, meet people, et cetera. So, you know, I have a lot invested over the many years that I've been in this mm-hmm. organization. And I continue because I think it's important. We do find that we often bring in writers that are just starting, and they get to a point where they don't really need the association anymore. They really have seen all the seminars. They've been here, done that. They can do what they want. But a lot of them still stay just because they love the networking, and mm-hmm. they just love to. And a lot of them go from being a writer to being an editor or owning their own mm-hmm. magazine or whatever.
And they, authors, books. There's authors, a lot of authors.
People cultivate our people off the website and ask them, you know, could you write this for me? Could you do that for me? I mean, these are all things that are very, very important. If you want to stay being a writer, it's just like being in the Chamber of Commerce. You gotta work it. They don't work it for you.
Yeah.
Give you the opportunities, yeah. But by God, you've got to work it yourself. So even that is
this
also
is true.
It's also true for those of us who have an awful lot of experience.
I think it's good to stay in organizations, to stay current. You may mm-hmm. be at the top of your game. We've watched, you know, experts on our shows that have had, you know, monthly segments and things end up being on like the Dr. Phil show or mm-hmm. like these really yeah. big national mm-hmm. things.
Yep.
And then if you don't, that's great, but you need to continue the education. Yeah. You can't just go, I made it here, and then go, oh, I've made it. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
Success
that way. No.
is a series of successes, no. and that's how you get to excellence. And you got to keep the networking, I think, is really important. I love seeing everybody on social media. I love following you guys on Twitter, on IFTWA. Everyone hashtag IFTWA is awesome. just seeing all these destinations, I'm like, holy crap, she just went there. You didn't tell me, but you did on Twitter. So that's really cool. But ladies, thank you so much for joining us and also having some fun conversations about George Clooney and Christopherson. Yeah. And, you know, hey, why not? All of them. That is, it's been really, really fun. Again, everyone, the website is ifwtwa.org. This is a place you can go. You could be a winery, a destination, a hotel, a travel writer, blogger, a photographer, really a good place to connect with everybody. So I want to go around the room and everyone give your website out. So Betsy, is it Betsyworld.com?
Betsyworld.com.
Okay. SharonKKurtz.com.
Yes.
I'm getting there. Yeah. So that's a K, and that's a Kurtz with his K-U-R-T-Z. Diva Linda, allingoodtaste.info. Marie, you've got a long one. I know there's storytelling and photos and travel in there.
Travel notes and storytelling.
There it is. Travelnotesandstorytelling.com. Thank you all for joining us. Everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you.